A very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Shkolim Daftes Zayin Amud Aleph, Shkolim 16a, pagination page 31. We'll start from the third line on the page. And our theme over here is the Aron, the Holy Ark in the Beis HaMikdash. And the concept that it was hidden away, and we'll get some insight as to the stories that are associated with that. So the Gemara tells us, Mishanignaz ha'aron, when the aron was hidden, nignaz imo, they hid at the same time, Tzintzenes Haman, the jar of Mun, the sample that Moshe put away, Parshas Beshalach, Utzalochus Shemen HaMishcha, and the container of the anointing oil, Umaklo Shal Aaron, and the staff of Aaron, Uparachov, Ushkedov, and the special sprouting forth that occurred, Parshas Korach, Va'arges shehishivo plishtim osham leloke Yisrael, and the chest in which the plishtim sent back an atonement to the God of Israel. So we need a little information before we go further. The Aron was captured in the time of Eli, the Kohen Gadol, in the beginning of the book of Shmuel. And it was never supposed to be sent into battle, but they were having a vexing time overcoming the enemy. So they finally decided to send the Aron in battle, and in the merit of the Aron, they thought they would win the war. The result was, on the contrary, they never should have been disrespectful to the Aron and used it in such a way, and it ended up getting captured by the enemy. But in its holiness, it became very clear to the enemy that they didn't want any part of this Aron. They put it in front of the God, and the God kept falling, and people got sick. And they finally sent back the Aron with a chest of wealth as a tribute to the God of Israel, recognizing from this story the power of the Aron and the power of the Jewish God, and they saved that chest, apparently, as a lesson of recognition of how important and treasured and honorable the Aron is. So that's one thing. The other factor over here is that if the Shemen HaMishcha, if the anointing oil was put away, so then how did they anoint people from the time that this occurred? And the answer is that there was another type of oil that wasn't the original oil from Moshe, but it's called Shemen Afar Simon, and it also worked to anoint somebody, but it wasn't the official way of the same oil that Moshe originally made. In any case, the Gemara asks the end of the line, Mi Gonzo, who hid the Aron? Who is responsible for this event? So Yoshio Nignazo, Gonzo. Yoshiyahu, the king, in the second book of Malachim, he's the one who hid it. Kevin Sharosh Akosov, because he saw in the pasuk it says, Yolach Hashem Oschaves Malkecha, Ashatokim Alech Algaya, Shalo Yadata Atava Avosecha. The pasuk says that there's a destiny of exile, that if you don't do the words of Hashem, your king and the people are going to be brought into exile. So Amad Vigunzo, so he went and hid the Aron so that the Aron should not be taken captive by the enemy when Yerushalayim gets conquered. The Rambam, when he mentions the hiding of the Aron in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Dalid, he mentions that the place where it was hidden is beneath the temple structure. And Shlomo Bonavo Makom Lignos, Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, knew that it was going to be destroyed. And he himself created caverns underneath so that there would be a place to hide the Aron. And Yoshiyahu simply made the decision that it's time. And he decided to utilize those caverns that Shlomo HaMelech had designed. Now, on the facing page, going back to the yesterday's daf, there's a Gemara here that tells us that on one occasion, the Kohanim working in the Beis HaMikdash figured out where the Aron, where the entranceway from the temple level, where the entranceway would be into the caverns underneath, and that it wasn't a good thing. If you'll take a look at the Gemara, it's about midway, top and bottom. The first word on the line is Ha'isha. And then we begin. V'rabbonan Amri, the Rabbonan say, Belishkas dir ha'etzim haya ha'aron ganus, that the aron was hidden underneath the room of the wood, where they would check the wood and make it proper for the Mizbeach. If there were worms in there, they would make sure to take them out, to disqualify that wood. Masa b'kohen echad balmum, there was a story with a kohen who had a blemish and therefore he couldn't do the avoda, and instead he worked in the Beis HaMikdash, but not as a service kohen. So he was checking wood. Shaya omad mafatzel etzim belishkas dir ha'etzim, he was working on the wood. V'ro'as ha'ritzpa shimishtana mechavroseha, and he noticed on the floor that one of the stones was different than all of the other stones. Bov omar lachaveiro, he went and told his friend, bo re'e yisaritzpa hazos shimishtana mechavroseha, and apparently he overstepped his bounds. He was trying to tell other people about his discovery and see where it's going to take them. Lo hispik ligmor asadover, he wasn't able to finish off his thought, atshayotzis anishmaso, and he already died. His soul left him. V'yadu b'yichud, and they realized from this stunning event, shesham ha'aron gonuz, that he had discovered the place of the aron, and leave it be. Don't start tampering with it. The Gemara continues with what seems to be an addendum story, or a similar story. Tana Rav Hoshea, hikish aleha bekurnis, he banged on it with a hammer, a tool that's used for stone. V'yotzus eish, and a fire came out. V'sor faso, and burnt him. And this, if we learn it, would seem to be a continuation of the first story, whether it's the same person or not, with a slightly different event, or it's a totally different story. But someone tried to tamper with the place of the Aron, and the fire came out and did damage. Now, what's interesting is that this Gemara shows up in the Gemara Yuma as well, different Masechta, Yuma Nun Dalid, and over there the description is that he was misasek bikardumo, he was using his hatchet, which is not a hammer. A hatchet is a utensil that's used on wood, which would seem he wasn't doing anything wrong. V'nishmita miyado, and it slipped out of his hand, which seems to be an accident. And over there, it says that the hatchet got burnt, that a fire came out and the hatchet got burnt. And it's actually very meticulous that the stories are very consistent. It's two very different stories. Because if the person was doing something wrong, as we see in this Gemara, that he was trying to take something that's sneistic and private and trying to publicize it, so we understand why he himself would have gotten hurt, as the statement over here is, Yotzisa Nishmas, so he died. But if we're dealing not with a hammer where he was trying to bang the stone and trying to agitate it and change it and discover, but rather he was working not with a hammer but with a hatchet. He was legitimately working on the wood and it slipped, and then but it slipped in a place which started entering the cavern somehow. So then the fire came out, and what did it consume? Let's be very careful. Let's read the Gemara there carefully. What did it consume? It consumed the hatchet. But it didn't hurt the Kohen. The Kohen didn't do anything wrong, and there was no reason to view him as punishable. I just want to make an observation on the second side of today's daf, so Tezayin Amid Beis 16b, pagination 32, we have the famous Gemara, which we study in Parshas Teruma, of the way that the Aron was built, that there were three boxes. The outer one was gold, the inner one was gold, the middle one was made of wood. And as we discuss in Parshas Teruma, there are great lessons in that a person is supposed to be gold on the outside as well as gold on the inside, refined, goodly. But there's always the recognition, no matter how good and great a person is, ultimately, he's a human being. He has to be aware of his fallibilities, and he should make sure that, in fact, he should be gold on the outside and also gold on the inside. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.